conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon to everyone on today, who is survey drafting team call on Thursday, the 21st of July. We have Wilson Adigaba, Dana Staub, Anne Nafziger, Eliza Cooper. From staff, we have Liz Gaster, Steve Sheng, Glenda Saint-Giry, and myself, Gisela. I have apologies noted from Wendy Seltzer. And if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. And Suzanne Prosser has just joined us as well. Welcome, Suzanne. Over to you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Gisela. And I also got word from Michael Young that he's planning to dial in, but was having some power problems and maybe a few minutes late as well. Wendy Seltzer has offered kindly to be our liaison to the GNSO Council, which is helpful, but she's not available to join the call today. So we should expect to have her participate in the future. I did send two things out in advance of this meeting. One was a draft agenda, and that's been circulated for a while now, and the other was a draft charter, which I just circulated yesterday. So it is visible in the Adobe Connect, and I'm happy to walk you through that. But I just want to make sure that everyone does have the draft agenda, which is also posted in Adobe Connect, and at least has seen that charter, if not had a chance to read through it. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the draft agenda for today? So is everyone okay with proceeding with that agenda? Okay.
Yeah, but you just received the draft legislation.
Excuse
Hello,
me?
Hello, this is Wilson.
Yes?
This is Wilson.
Yes?
I did not receive the charter.
I did not either. This is Susan.
And this is Ann Nofziger. I didn't either.
The charter you did not?
No.
Correct.
Mm.
Yeah, we didn't.
Okay. I did send it out yesterday, I thought. Glenn, do you know, can you check the archives and just make sure it posted?
I'll do that to you, Liz.
Yeah, thanks. And you do see it, though, in the Adobe Connect, right?
Yes. Just hard, I'm this is Anne. I'm unclear as to how to maneuver through this document, however, on Adobe Connect. Okay.
Let me change it so that it should be now so that everyone can...
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, you should be able to maneuver through now on your own. That does help.
Yes.
Michael joining.
Okay, so did Michael just join?
I did.
Great, okay. So far, you'll see who we have on the line. We're just noting that several people did not receive the draft charter that I wrote and circulated, so people have not had a chance to review that charter. So we'll do so on the call today, and I'll explain what it is and what I think its utility is. Why don't we, before we get to the charter, talk just to discuss briefly where things stand. I think also we confirmed that the agenda was okay with everyone to proceed. So the first item, we did roll call, and the first item on the agenda is to discuss the chair position and hopefully confirm the chair position and that of the vice chairs. You may recall on our first and only call that we've had to date prior to the meeting in Singapore, we asked for volunteers for chair. We received one volunteer, Michael Young, who's on the phone. I did ask for other volunteers, but we have not received any other volunteers for chair. We also received three volunteers for vice chair, Wilson Adigaba, Don Blumenthal, and Werner Staub. Thank you. And so what I would like to do today is, as a first matter of business, is just to ask by acclamation if there are any objections to Michael Young assuming responsibility as chair of this group. And I'll stop there. If there are, is there further dialogue, we can certainly have that. If not, I'll be turning the call basically over to Michael, though I think I'll probably help a little bit on the context and background of the charter. Because that was really a staff-drafted item.
Liz, it's Michael. I just wanted to update the group because since the last call, my role has changed a little bit. I want to make sure that I'm very clear with people. I don't think that changes anything, but I did shoot an email to see how I update my statement of interest. So I think probably I should do that, and then we should make sure everyone's okay with me doing the chair role. Is that okay?
Very good. So we'll postpone then, is what I hear you saying, the decision about appointing a chair for the time being until that statement of interest has been circulated and everyone can review it?
Well, and I can speak to it right now on the call as well. So should I do that now?
Any objections to that from the group? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that then, Michael? Thanks.
Oh, okay. So since the first call that we, or last call, I guess, that we did, I am, you know, my role is now Chief Technology Officer of Arcatelos. Now, Arcatelos, some of you may have heard some press about, may already be aware of what it does, but I'll just clarify what the company does. It's a consulting company and a management outsourcing company for registry services. In other words, it doesn't do what a back-end registry operator does. It handles the management layer or assists with the management layer for entities operating, have the responsibility to operate a registry. So it is what we do is we do consulting work in a variety of different forms. We don't have we're a neutral third party, so we don't make any direct associations or direct partnerships with back-end service providers because we did not want to create a company that causes us conflict as consultants. And with registry contract holders, we actually, in some cases, do some management services on their behalf, act as registry managers in those cases where they want us to, in an outsourcing model. And we supply some tools around management functions, business intelligence tools, management, typical management workflow tools, things of that nature. So I just wanted to be clear to everyone what I'm doing, and I don't think it puts me in any kind of conflict in this work. In fact, it actually may give me a lot more sources of feedback and information about who is issues in the operating and the marketplace. But I want to be very clear to everybody.
Thank you, Michael. So just to clarify, in your new responsibilities, in terms of like workload or anything, there's no reason why you would not want to, you still want to continue to volunteer to be the chair, right?
I'm happy to, and Arcatelos is happy to have me dedicate some of my time to that kind of function.
Great. And, you know, and just for everyone's benefit, we don't really, the concept of a conflict of interest, you know, often people have an interest, a special interest in the work that we do. So when we think about statements of interest in the ICANN context, in terms of working group participants and chairs, it really has to do with declaring your interests, not so much a conflict of interest in a traditional legal sense. So there's no problem with having a interest that otherwise might be considered a conflict as long as it's declared and stated overtly. So does anyone have any questions about that? And does anyone have any questions for Michael in light of this disclosure or anything else about how he might approach this working group that you want to ask now? Okay. Would people prefer to wait until they see Michael's statement of interest before deciding on the chair? Let me say it a different way. Would anyone object if you did you want to go ahead and decide on the chair now?
This is Werner. I think we should go ahead now in the interest of time and the belief that there is no specific problem associated with any change.
Does anyone have a different point of view than Werner?
No.
Okay.
No. So is it the group's consensus by acclamation that Michael should proceed as chair of this group?
Yes.
Yes, I would support that also.
Okay. Anybody opposed? Well, great. I'm going to turn over the reins to Michael now. It's my pleasure to get that out of the way as the first item of business. And Michael, you may want to speak to the vice chairs, and then if you'd like me to comment further on the charter, I will. A couple people have asked me about getting the charter in a savable form, and I'm going to just resend it to the list because I don't quite understand why it didn't before, and then you should have it in a way that can be edited. So I'll do that in the meantime.
Well, I'm amongst those that didn't get that email, Liz, so it would be very helpful.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. You all got the notice, though, about the call, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll figure that out. Thank you.
Okay.
Charge operator error on my part.
Well, let me jump a little to some thoughts on the vice chairs, if everyone's comfortable with that. I think it's wonderful that we had three volunteers for vice chairs. And because the more I look at this piece of work, the more I think it's a very large piece of work, and I'm very glad we've had a lot of volunteers so far for this group, but also that we've had three very solid candidates volunteer as vice chairs. And I think chairs, because I can see a structure, or I'd like to suggest a structure to the group on how we can get a lot more accomplished with actually forming up three subgroups or working groups, using the vice chairs to take leadership on those groups, and hopefully parallelizing some, obviously not all, but at least some of the effort that we'd like to make around this. That's an initial idea. Is there any feedback or thoughts on that idea?
I think it's a very good idea. Could you identify a little bit the kind of subdivision you would propose?
Absolutely. So I like to keep these things simple. I've had 25 some odd years of various forms of project management, and I think the simple structures are the easiest ones to execute through. So I thought very carefully and looked through the notes on the last call, here's what I would suggest. I think we do the following three teams. A drafting team to work on actually comprising or compiling the questions that would go into the survey, as well as thinking about the tally results in the nature of asking those questions. Are they asking a question that we can collect some type of statistic in the answers as well? The second group I would suggest focus on actually deciding what the survey tool is actually going to be or look like, and work on developing a recipient list for the survey. Who are we actually going to send the survey to? Because who we actually try and issue this survey to will have cause and effect and relationship with what we think the best survey tool to use would be. And then lastly, I was thinking we had a lot of people, including myself, express some interest in revisiting the requirements a little bit and just making sure, because things have changed fairly quickly in the last year, and making sure that that they're fully updated, and if people think that they need to be either added to, refined, or clarified, now's a good opportunity while we're building the survey to do that. So the third team would be, I'm just referring to them as a requirements verification team, and my thoughts on that team would be that they could start with the original resolution to gather these requirements. There was a list of a starting list, if you will, of stakeholders to touch base with to additional requirements. And I think circling back to those stakeholders plus creatively considering other stakeholders we may want to get some feedback on will help us make sure that that we're getting all the questions into the survey that we'd like to see. And so team three, in effect, would progressively probably feed information to team one while they're working on their questions. Those would be the three teams. That would be kind of part A of the work. Each team would probably start, I think, with the following basic activities. They would derive their scope of work, they would do a task assignment, and they would do a project timeline for their area. And then that comprises basically part A as a structure, suggested structure. And that leads into part B of a structure to get the work done. And part B is really kind of the interesting part, where we have some results back and we assess the results. And I'm suggesting what we do with the results, because we had some discussion there and I was thinking about what everyone was saying, is that we do a whole team exercise to review the tallies from the survey results. So based on the tallies associated with questions, and by tallies I mean we really should think about driving some prioritization messaging back from the survey respondents, so that we understand as part of the survey scope what people think out of this long list of requirements. You know, first of all, is the entire list valid? Great. But even if it's all valid, what do they think are the most urgent ones or the most important ones, or, you know, affect them as a stakeholder on a prioritization basis? So we'd hopefully develop our questions to get that kind of feedback. And as a group, we go through the feedback to the survey and work together to prioritize the requirements based on what we got back from the tallies associated with the survey questions. Then we would add our own comments in that process as we went through the responses. If we have any, our interpretations, make sure that that gets documented and ultimately into an end report. And then lastly, I think the last part of the structure would be for us to create recommended next steps. And I'll throw out a controversial one, but if we hope to see some movement on getting some of these requirements actually into practice, perhaps one of the recommendations might be for to move forward with an implementation working group for the top three requirements, in, you know, thinking along the lines of a PDP, so that we actually get some movement. But that would be a recommendation from us. That would not be absolute. That would be a decision back to the council. So that's just a suggestion. So there will be lots to talk about. And that's the overall structure I was thinking of. So I'm hoping silence means a good thing, but if anyone has thoughts about that, now I'd be happy to write it up in a little. I've already written
it. Michael, I did just kind of paste it in as you were talking. It's Liz, to the notes in the Adobe Connect, because it might be easier for people to actually see it. So I tried to take some notes while you were talking.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you all can kind of see it visually there, too.
This is Anne. Michael, may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure I'm interpreting this correctly. What I'm hearing you say is that really the Part A piece will be where we, in a sense, break up into three subgroups to deal with these three pieces of that portion of the project. But then I hear you saying that we'll be then circling back into a larger group for Parts B?
Part B, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Part B, I think, would be, I mean, really what we're doing is we're not making up content anymore in Part B. We're reviewing and walking through the responses that we got, making sure that we all agree, we've read the responses, and we have a consensus on what prioritization the recipients or the respondents rather have put to these questions, to these service requirements, you know, I think it's very important that we as a group, I mean, that's a statistical and a data interpretation exercise, and it'd be a very strong response if we as a group have a strong consensus on how we see the results.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Of course, I guess the really the very first step is for us to is to finish off the charter. technically, you know, any time I've been in a working group and we get kind of halfway through and we get a little iffy on whether or not we should step into a sideways but related piece of work, it's that charter that always brings us, answers that question for us.
And this is Liz. If I could just expand on this charter concept, the council, when it convened this group, didn't do so in a, you know, using a formal resolution, which is fine. But the council just focused on kind of the part A, developing the survey, and it's just our thinking kind of generally that it would be good to have the same people involved in developing the survey, also considering the survey responses. So that piece of things was just a thought about using this charter as a way to basically make that recommendation back to the council so that there are maybe more defined parameters to what the scope of work of this group is, with kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end, where, you know, your expertise can be used not only to develop the survey, but to, you know, help us analyze it so that that isn't exclusively a staff function.
Yeah.
A lot of the charter language is boilerplate. We're trying to get to kind of a standardized charter that will help all the groups, you know, have easy reference to working group rules and such. Not everything applies in this case, but I think the idea that we would want to at least discuss Part A and Part B, or part of Part B, as within this group's scope of work and get the council's concurrence on that once you all agree was my thinking behind our preparing this. And there, the charter can be changed and is intended to just be for you all to consider, and in terms of like dates and deadlines and those kinds of things, that's completely up to you. It's just a way of looping back to the council to confirm and make sure there's no ambiguity about what the scope of work is.
As you can see, the structure that I suggested and Liz noted is something that I guess the work elements in the structure anyways, if not the way we break out the work, but the work elements in the structure could be added to our charter for clarification to basically tell the council, look, this is what we're intending to do. You know, so speak now if there's an issue with that. It also allows us to know when we finish our work and what our success criteria is when we hit the finish line. Does anyone have anything that they want to add to the scope of what we've put up here so far, or do they feel this covers the issues and the points of discussion that we had on the previous? Because that was really what I was trying to do, was to get everyone's concerns and thoughts included into this scope of work. Well, I'll take that silence that we covered it fairly well.
So for staff clarification, should we be adding the Part A and Part B into the charter?
I think so, minus how we actually physically do the work, Liz, because I don't think it should be in the charter that you know, we're going to break up into three sub-working groups and so forth. Does everyone like the idea of breaking up into the three subgroups? Does that quite practical? But or does anyone object to it?
This is Werner. I was just wondering if it can actually be parallelized, or if we have a serial decision problem. So between drafting the, you know, we can have a team, you know, get the team together. But that at some point the team comes up with questions. If you have a survey tool, at some point these things have to be working together, but one of them needs to be based on the other one's work.
Right.
So you know, all the survey tools can handle all kinds of questions.
Right. So I totally hear what you're saying, and I had a functional idea about that. I think that there has to be an ongoing communication or feeding between groups. I think they can work in parallel if they are in communication with each other and feeding each other systematically. For example, you know, the drafting team for questions, there's plenty of information in the existing requirements document where they could start getting some of the questions done. But they would need information from what the requirements verification team are finding out in order to complete that work. And the survey tool and recipient decision team, well, the recipient decision team could probably, you know, on the recipient side, they could probably, you know, get a list of 75 or 80% of the stakeholder ideas around who the stakeholders or the people filling out the survey should be now. But there may be some ideas that float in from the requirements verification team as they go out and find other stakeholders. And there may be some ideas from the group. So what I was going to suggest to keep that communication intrinsic in the nature of the way we work is that we would periodically, and I'm still a little waffling on the schedule in my head. A lot of it depends on how often people in this group are willing to attend meetings or able to attend meetings. But I was thinking we would alternate between a meeting where the three subgroups have their own independent meetings and push forward their work, and then periodically, I don't know if it's every second interval or every third interval, we come back as a group meeting team, and the subgroups report on their progress and cross-communicate deliberately with each other so that we're ensured that feedback's going on iteratively. What do you think, Werner? Do you think that would do it?
I think it could do it, indeed. We just have to, as you suggest, get the groups to come back into sync on a regular basis. So actually, the suggestion of having regular calls together, or possibly, you know, the vice chairs and chairs trying to synchronize the work, that might be an idea.
Right, and if we're challenged on getting everyone on the calls, we could fall back to the chairs meeting periodically to synchronize. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, in terms of the logistics of that, I think we have some good ideas around that, and I'd also like to talk with Liz and about the practicality. But how often, let me ask a question to the group, how often do they think they could make a meeting commitment? Is it once a week or once every 2 weeks, or, you know, where's their availability at this point?
Well, sorry, this is Werner. I think for many of us, it might depend on what the duration of the effort is. I think doing one meeting per week for 6 months would be absolutely extenuating. So the question is how much of that could be, you know, how long would it be? You know, if it is for 4 weeks or so to have a meeting every week, that's fine. For 8 weeks is okay too. But as soon as you go beyond that, it becomes a problem. Then you would lose the thrust.
Right. And the other thing I was thinking is that some of the work that everyone's involved in requires, you know, outside resources getting back to the subgroups or even to the whole team with answers or feedback in terms of, especially, you know, when we're looking for new stakeholders and getting their comments on the existing requirements. So, you know, expecting them to turn around answers in between weekly meetings might be unrealistic as well. So if we did the meetings, if we tried to plan the meetings every 2 weeks with maybe an expectation that the synchronization meetings then are put on the chair's heads, and they're the ones that end up maybe doing ultimately weekly meetings, because they're going to do synchronization meetings in between their regular subgroup meetings. And I like to think that if people are willing to volunteer for subchair, they'd be willing to do at least a short meeting once a week for a while.
I agree. I think that's a good way.
Okay. So, okay. Any other comments on that structure?
This is Anne again. I think that makes sense. The one thing I would add, and it would probably be helpful if we are going to be divided up into these three subgroups, while we wouldn't be on the weekly meeting, perhaps once a month, or at least before too much time passes, we have a meeting of everyone so we can get an update as to what's happening.
I totally hear what you're saying. So we've got the synchronization meetings with the chairs. We've got the subgroup meetings, and then at a reasonable interval. And if we're doing 2 weeks intervals on, we're trying to allow people that haven't volunteered for the extra work of the chair to do a meeting, a work meeting, say once every 2 weeks, then maybe every third meeting we do an entire group meeting so that people can all get updated.
Yep.
Okay. Good. Any other thoughts and comments?
Liz, I guess, one question is whether you would want to set up just different subgroup mailing lists and, of course, who's going to do which subgroup and all of that. We can help with just setting up the list if we know how you want to proceed.
Right. Liz, what would you say has been most successful in terms of, because you've seen subgroups form before, do you find that doing dedicated mailing lists for the subgroups is better than just trying to do the traffic through the main list?
I actually personally, because this is a relatively small group, might suggest that you consider doing the traffic through the main list with like maybe subheaders in your emails. So that you can be sure to stay informed, but, you may find that impractical or unwieldy. It's not a really big group, but, it sometimes can work better with subgroup.
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to have the transparency, too, where, like, the subgroup emails are archived as well. So it's really up to you all what you think would work best given the topics.
Yeah, I think given Werner's issues that he raised and my own thoughts as well and Anne's is that we want to keep the cross-communication going. So I think the idea, if we can all exercise a little discipline, is to, besides any subject lines or that we actually tag our subgroup name as well. That way people want to read all the subgroup emails, they can. But they'll see just by the subject line that it's a subgroup email, and they can choose to not if they don't feel, if they feel it's too much information flowing past them. And we stick on the same mailing list. I'd be afraid if we had separate mailing lists, too much information we'd get.
I would like to echo that, actually. I've made the experience that in the case of deep multiplication of mailing lists, people get lost. And there's an uneasiness about having missed something. At the same time, the people have a temptation to cross-post if something actually is of concern for more than one. And so it adds more confusion that actually would help to subdivide. So I'd be happier with a single list, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, we'll all try to manage the subject lines proactively. So if we're trying to communicate specifically with our subgroup and optionally people can read it, we'll just tag the subject lines, subgroup B or subgroup C. Okay. Liz, I'm not exactly sure what you – I mean, I think we've gotten 1 through 3 now, and I'm just thinking about 4 here. I think with the draft charter, we just have to add. Well, let me go back to 2 and clear it off. I think if I understand where we're all at, we just need to add that additional language and get comments back on the list, and make sure everybody's okay with that. In order to next step on that, and then also at the same time, I think as an action item or follow up, Liz, if we could suggest a meeting schedule around the concepts we just talked about, that would for people to look at, and for those that aren't on the call, and then I'm not exactly sure. I mean, target or objective for Dakar, I don't know if that's a little premature. Charter, and we finalize the we get the scope of work going.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the last sentence. Could you repeat that?
Sure. I was saying the target or objective for Dakar just seems a little premature because we don't have the charter finalized yet, and we don't have the subgroups haven't defined the work that they're doing just yet, or their task items, and we don't have a project schedule yet. So I would suggest that we defer that one until we get the scope of work finalized and we get a suggested project delivery timeline out of the subgroups for their work.
And this is Liz. I think that's absolutely fine. I mean, the agenda item is there really to get you thinking about it more than anything, and of course, giving the council feedback or an idea of what your schedule is. So, what I would suggest is if you don't mind taking a first crack or a next crack at modifying the charter the way you think it should be, Michael, based on your work, just your plan, and then giving the subgroups a chance to meet before the next larger
right.
meeting. I think the question is really, in terms of a mailing list, you can all communicate on the same list, but if you think you want to have sub-team calls, how you want to treat that.
Right.
And so, if we were to set up, 3 sub-team calls for next week, and I'm just making this up, or for the week after, to start to talk about your schedule and the tasks so that you could complete. You could still do the high-level charter, get it completed, and, have Wendy as liaison, for example, send it to the council for its information, and then continue to talk about the deadlines you want, the milestones you want to work on, and the work plans for each group, say, on subsequent calls. But you may need to have at least organizing calls for each of those subgroups.
I would think so, yeah. And while we have 2 of the vice chairs on the call now, Wilson and Werner, do either one of you have a preference for one of these subgroups?
Yeah, this is Wilson. Okay, first of all, I would like to ask a question. I'm just thinking about it as in most of the our targets are what we are discussing. I think it depends on the on our timelines, on when I don't know when this survey is needed, when is it needed, and when we know that, if we know that, it will help us define our targets and also understand how frequently we should be meeting and all that. Apart from that, if we get to know when the survey is needed, then I would like to be part to lead Group 2. That is
Group 2? Okay.
Survey tools and recipient decision team.
Okay. Werner, did you have a preference?
Mine would actually be in the drafting team for questions. That's
okay.
Group 1.
Wonderful. I guess we don't have Don on the call, but Liz, I guess we can reach out to him and see if he's okay with taking 3. I rather suspect, given his wonderful long history, technical history, he probably would find this interesting.
Yes, we can do that.
Okay. Good. Okay. So, Liz, I guess we have our action items. I have a little bit of work to do, and drawing up what we've discussed in terms of the, you know, both a separate, I guess, work schedule with milestones, suggested milestones for work framework, and then the actual work elements that we've talked about or the goals that we've talked about that are, you know, included in those pasted items you put on the Adobe Connect, we have to get into comprehensively into the draft of the charter. So I can work on that for sure. It'd be good if what we could do is ratify the structure over the list, maybe even ratify the draft charter once I've edited over the list, and maybe get the initial organization calls done with the vice chairs, just to kind of between the vice chairs and myself, maybe just to get things organized, and then we can put out and then go to a group meeting and put out calls for volunteers for the different groups. Does that sound like the right action steps to everybody?
I would support that.
So are you thinking, Michael, maybe like a call between you and the vice chairs next week?
Yeah.
And calls and work on calls that the vice chairs, in a sense, would chair for each of their subgroups the following week, something like that?
Well, I think vice chairs and myself next week just to get organized, and then calls probably immediately in the mailing list, more entire group call. So 2 weeks from now, one more entire group call.
Okay.
Yeah, just to ratify the volunteers into the different groups. And, you know, if we get, you know, that'll also help, because if we get, you know, 90% of everyone wants to be on one group, then it would be good to get everyone on the phone and see if we can't, you know, entice a few people to switch to any understaffed groups, if you will, under-resourced groups.
So a two-week follow-up would be somewhere around the 4th of August. Is this date and time? I know Gisela would ask this, but is this date and time okay for people? Like if we were to just target for this for a call in 2 weeks?
That's good for me. One thing I have that I will be traveling in the latter portions of August, so I would have to at least work around that.
And I suspect you're not alone.
Yeah.
yeah. Summer's going to be tough for everyone, I think.
Okay, well then we'll go ahead and set up a call for, you know, in 2 weeks, roughly at the same time if that works, and we'll double Gisela, what I'd suggest is a doodle, just because we've got a number of people who aren't on the call today, to make sure that the reason is just that they have a, you know, bad day this day and not that this is a perennially bad time for others.
Gisela here, just so do you want a few options on that day or a few options that week around this time?
Michael, what do you suggest?
I think the day is probably okay, but I think we give a hour before, hour after the current time, or, you know, just give people a little bit of wiggle room and see what.
Okay, I'll do that.
And is there anyone who's at a particularly where this is an onerous time for them, and they are? I'm not sure where everyone's located. Is anyone really in the middle of the night?
You mean right now the time that we're using currently?
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, it's actually rather practical. It is outside of office hours, but still when I'm moderately awake.
Okay. And Wilson, are you okay with this time? Wilson?
Okay. No. Wilson, the time is okay with me. It's perfect with me. It's 8 p.m. right now, but it's perfect with me.
Okay. Want to make sure.
Is it possible to send out a reminder like 30 minutes prior to the meeting, so that's people can be prepared for it, just in case.
Okay, good. Vice chairs, I'd like to break a little bit from this pattern for next week, is Wilson Warner, since you're on the call already, is there any chance we could do a call on Wednesday instead of the Thursday next week?
Let me just check.
Just stay with me.
Just checking. I don't see any problem. Wednesday is okay.
Okay, great. I am trying. We have a long weekend. Yeah, we have a long weekend here in Canada coming up that week, and I promised my children I'd take them on a canoe trip on the Thursday.
Okay.
So that would be fantastic. Okay, so do we want to target the same time slot on Wednesday next week? One my time, and I think you said 8 and...
And 7, respectively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good time.
Okay. And can attend that time, but, I mean, he's in the same time zone as me, so I would imagine he could probably make that work.
Okay.
Sorry, for clarification, we're talking about Wednesday the 27th, right?
Correct.
At what time?
1700 UTC.
Thanks. Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Steve Lahia, just clarification. Do we need recording, transcript, et cetera, for this call? Next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a working call with the vice chairs. I, you know, this is a protocol issue, so, Liz, I look to you for some, and I look to both of you, actually, for guidance on that. Should we be doing transcripts? Since it's an organizing call, maybe we should.
Yeah, I don't have a strong view. I think, sure. Yeah, let's just stick to that.
Okay.
Others can join on the group if they want to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way anyway, because it just comes in as very helpful if somebody joined and then, you know, has a view or input for something that the others did not have. So it's always a good idea.
We don't have, there's some people missing on this call. So why not,
right.
You can make it a call specifically for the chairs and vice chairs to get organized, but sent to the full list, invite the overall team if they would like to participate, and go ahead and post the transcript as a regular call.
Just set them as optional and the chairs as required.
Yeah, sounds great. Is that okay with everyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right. Does anyone have anything else? New business, new issues?
Actually, Michael, I should just ask you, do you think it's okay if anyone wanted to join more than one team?
You know, if they are willing to dedicate their time, why not?
That might be something to mention to...
Yeah, I think it's good to mention that, of course, all the teams are open to everybody. So it's it's about facilitating focus, but not about excluding anybody.
Exactly. The more work people are willing to do, the better off we are. So, yeah. Okay. So I'll make sure in the work plan elements that I write up that I specify that, just so it's very clear to everyone.
This is Anne. Can I clarify one point on the formation of these groups? Are you looking to should we be letting you know now if we have an interest, or do you want us to hold that until we have this meeting in 2 weeks?
No, I think what will happen is after the vice chairs get organized on Wednesday, and they'll put out emails right away looking for their volunteers. And so, you know, volunteer on the list initially. I think the calls... a real backup in case we don't get a very uneven distribution of volunteering.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a favorite already?
I do.
What would you like?
I would like to work on the first team with Werner. I think we're going to leave that one.
Excellent. Okay.
Excellent.
All right. Liz, do you have anything else?
I don't. Steve, do you have anything? Steve Chang's also supporting this group, so make sure.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I think we're all set.
Okay. Well, so I'll formally wrap up the meeting, and thank you, everyone, and I look forward to producing some results from this group.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.